One of the great joys that we have as God's child is the knowledge that we have been saved in the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to ask you a tremendously important question today. Why did God save us? Have you ever thought about that? God saved us in the blood of Jesus Christ. But why? God called us out from among the world. But why? You know, it's not just a theological question. It's something that affects all of the behavior of our life. I want to ask your attention today to Psalm 106. Now, there are about 48 verses in this psalm, and I'm going to set your minds at ease with two things. One, I'm going to divide what I want to try to do today into two parts, today and tonight. But the other part of it is, even then, I'm not going to try to use all the verses. Now, I say that suggesting to you that you be sure you read all the verses. Because there are a great many things that I'm going to sort of incorporate with others and not focus on individually. But there is a biblical principle that's stated for us in the last two verses of this psalm. And I want to read that for our text verses today, verse 47 and 48. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. Lord, take me out of this world. Get me out of these wicked folks. Draw me apart to yourself. Save me, O Lord, and gather us from among the heathen. But now notice the language. To, or in order to, give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Now, as we work to establish the biblical answer to why God saved us, I want you to notice, I've done things this way a lot of my life, kind of backwards. I'm going to start with the last expression and go the other direction. I want you to notice with me the last expression in the psalm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Those who have been at Camp Sunlight might think about the same thing that my mind went to when I read that expression. There's a song that the children love to do. Jump down. It starts out, Amen, praise the Lord. But then there's a line there that says, jump down, turn around, praise the Lord. That's the idea of the sound of this statement. It's not a, Amen, I guess we better pray. It is a sound of great joy. But while we look at the last expression in this psalm, I want you to go back and notice the first expression in the psalm. It also begins with that same phrase. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. From the first verse till the last verse. Now, the word translates from a word which means to be clear. It's often used to speak of a clear sound. Have you ever listened to a record that was scratchy? Have you ever been driving down the road and had a radio on and it just sort of faded in and out and it was real staticky? You know, sometimes our lives can be like that in the sense of our testimony. Sometimes they can get clouded. Sometimes they can be static with a lot of interference from things around about us. The idea of this word is, first of all, that the sound that's emitted, the sound that's put forth, is a clear sound, a readily understood sound, a readily recognized sound, to be clear in what you're doing, to shine, to make a show. Not to make a show to call attention to yourself. Jesus, as a matter of fact, cautioned the Pharisees about their religion being a show, that they might be seen of men. And they had their reward. They were seen of men. But Jesus cautioned that our faith and actions of faith were not for that purpose, but they were to be seen. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, the idea of this word is to shine forth. In fact, many of the early Arabic translations and early Greek translations of the Hebrew Scriptures, rather than using the word praise, use the word hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, there's a reason for that link. Lord, save, and I'll get to that reason in a minute. Lord, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name. But notice that the idea of giving thanks and the idea of praise goes back to this verse that said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. From the beginning through the ending. You see, brothers and sisters, the Lord reminds us. You remember what John says in the book of the Revelation when we get over to Revelation chapter 19, verse 4. The beast and the elders that were around the throne of God bowed down. And they used the term, all that sat on the throne, they worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And it's the same word that comes from the word that's used as praise in Psalm 106. And the idea is praise to Yah. Praise to Jehovah. Praise to the Lord. Jehovah is the word in the Greek language that we get our word Lord from. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lord. Praise to Yah. Praise Him from everlasting to everlasting. Why would He make that specific statement? If you go back into the first chapter of the book of the Revelation, John was given a vision, and John saw the one who was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Now, it struck me with those because we ought to realize, brothers and sisters, that in our lives, the show of our life, the clarity of our life, the sound that goes forth in testimony in our life ought to be from the first part of our life till the last part of our life, from the first thing we do till the last thing we do, and all points in between, because God is the beginning and the ending, and He doesn't change. His praise ought to permeate everything in our life. Well, I got to work. I can't sing all the time. I got to handle this job. I can't read all. That's right. But our behavior ought to be such that Jesus shines forth in us, that people would see the way we approach our life, that people would see the way we behave ourselves, that we act like Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Why? You know what that word means? It's not just the end of a prayer. If you look up in the dictionary, the definition is not, it's time to go home. It does mean, so be it. You make a statement, and the term Amen at the end of that statement means, I believe that to be true. So be the truth. From everlasting to everlasting, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So be that. Be that the prime focus of our life. From beginning until ending, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord Jehovah. You'll notice that in that passage that we read, save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from the among the heathen. Here's our purpose. Here's why God saved us. It wasn't because we were better than others. And I'll talk about that some more tonight. It wasn't because we prayed harder. It wasn't because we begged harder. It wasn't because we messed up any worse than anybody else did. It was that by His sovereign grace, He saved us in His Son to... He saved us for a purpose. He saved us from hell's condemnation. But, oh, we're going to go to heaven. I'm going to tell you that going to heaven is the inheritance. The purpose is a purpose that begins in this life and continues through all the way into the glory of heaven. He separated us and saved us to give thanks and to triumph in His glory. We live in a world today where it looks like wickedness has got a head start, doesn't it? We live in a world today where things that we hear just makes us shake our heads and say, I can't even believe it's got to this point. But what I want you to understand today, folks, is that our praise of the Lord is to be to thank Him and to triumph over evil in this world, in our own life, and to know that God's people will stand in the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. When Christ returns, the name of Christ will still be preached in this world. No matter how wicked man may become, we will triumph by God's grace. Jesus' name will triumph. God will triumph over all the wickedness of this earth. He called us to praise Him. Listen to what the writer goes on to say in the beginning of this psalm. And I'm going to call your attention to some things in these first five verses, and then we'll get to the rest of it tonight. But I want you to notice something. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Same word. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For, why? He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Give thanks to the Lord for. You see, the first thing that we need to keep in mind is that our praise to God, our thankfulness to God, is to be more about Him than it is what He does for us. Now, he goes on to name some things, and those things are very important and they're very beneficial. But the very nature of God is good. and my thanks to Him, my praise to Him, my sound of hallelujah to Him is based on the nature of His goodness that brings His mercy to us. Then he asked another question. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Stop. Have you ever stopped and looked at some of the things that God has done? Perhaps you began with some part of creation. Perhaps you began with some view of this created earth in which we lived that struck you with majesty to the point that you knew that you did not have the ability to describe it adequately. Have you ever had something that He's done in your life that you knew you could never fully convey to somebody else by word? There's the old line in a lot of in many different songs, many different jokes. Well, you had to be there. You know, I can't come back later on and give you all the details to the point that you felt exactly like I felt when it occurred to me. And that's the idea of this expression. When you look at all the mighty things that God has done, who can fully and adequately utter them? God's bigger than all I can say. God is bigger than all I can describe. God is greater than all that I can convey to you or that you can convey to me. He's good and His mercy, but you can't show forth all of His praise. Blessed are they that keep judgment, he that doeth righteousness. Blessed are those that do what God tells them to do. But even in that statement, he comes to the place in the fourth verse that he cries this prayer. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. You see, folks, when we have done all we can do, we still remain in need of God's favor. We use the term today, God's grace. God's graciousness. That's the same concept that's included in this word, favor. Lord, I want to do what's right, but in my heart I know that I don't always do enough. I want to do what's righteous in your sight, but I know that I come short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do I need? Lord, I need you to remember me with your favor. Not with justice. Not with wages that I've earned. I don't need to be... I don't need your judgment upon me because I come short and don't do all that I ought to do. What I need is your graciousness and your mercy extended to me. Who can describe all the mercy of God? When I've done the best I can do, all I can cry is, Lord, remember me with your favor. Oh, visit me with thy salvation that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Lord, by your mercy, by your favor bestowed upon me, I can do these three things. I can rejoice. I can see the good of God's chosen. You know, there was a time when there was a leader that called on a man named Balaam to curse Israel. If you go over in the book of Numbers, you'll find the story that's recounted that Balaam went up to pray. Well, you stay here and offer sacrifice, and I'll go up and pray, and then I'll tell you what God tells me to do. Well, he come back and instead of, he told him, he said, now I can't do it except what God tells me to do. And when he came back, he said, rather than cursing Israel, he declared a blessing upon Israel three times. And in that process, one of the statements that Balaam made was, oh, that my end might be like his. That I might end up with the blessings that Israel is going to have. That I may have that good favor that God's people are going to have. You see, folks, when we look at the glory of God, the first thing that we get to see is the glory, the goodness that God has given to us. And then, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. When I see the good things that God has given me, when in His grace among His people, when I see what He's done among His saints, the effect is to be a rejoicing, an outward celebration, an outward declaration, not just a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling on the inside. But an outward rejoicing of His nation because He has won the victory. The language that's often used in the book of Psalms speaks of a tumult, of a roar that is present when the victorious general or the victorious king comes riding through the streets. And the recognition of the people of His victory raises up a sound of great volume. And I thought of one of the things that's missing in this year's sporting seasons. They can't have folks in the stands. They can't have folks around them. So when they do something, some of them are playing artificial sounds. But I'm a golf watcher. And I think back over the years to some of the times when a fabulous shot would be made or the final putt would fall on the 18th hole and victory was finished. And there would be this uproar that would go up from that one spot, but the sound of it would permeate all the area around it. Well, folks, let me ask you something. Don't you and I have more to shout about than a golf shot or a baseball hit or a tackle on the football field? Why is it that our lives sometimes are so reluctant to let that sound forth? That people would hear from us what a real victory is in the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. And we can rejoice and glory with God's inheritance. You know, we're part of that inheritance. God gave a people to Jesus Christ. We are His heritage, and we rejoice with others who are the same beneficiaries that we are. Why did God save us? To praise Him, to give thanks to Him. But the benefit to us is that I get to see the good of the chosen of God. I get to rejoice in the gladness of all His saints together. And I get to be a part of His heritage and His inheritance. I have an inheritance. He's prepared an inheritance that awaits for us in heaven's glory world. But that inheritance is because we are the chosen inheritance of Jesus Christ. God the Father gave us to Jesus. And Jesus redeemed us so we could never be lost. And we can rejoice as part of that heritage. Brothers and sisters, why did God save us? And I'll tell you tonight, that the Lord willing tonight, we're going to talk about some things that ought to just send chills right down our spine. And the easiest thing would be for me to go ahead and tell you
that he did what we didn't deserve. But you see, he did it for a purpose.
I hear people say, oh, God's offered you this, God's offered you that. There's some things God didn't offer. There's some things God did. God, as his redeeming blood in Jesus Christ, saved us. And he saved us that we would be able to bless his name, to praise him, to be able to say with our lives, with our voices, in our singing, in our conversation, hallelujah. The last part of that word comes from that word, Yah, that name. It's the Greek part of the name, that's the name Jehovah. Hallelujah, praise to the Lord. You see, folks, that's why God saved you. That's the purpose of your life. From the first of your life till the end of your life. Oh, I come up short. Yeah, you do. That's why we cry, Lord, remember me with your favor. But the fact of the matter is, he has called us. He's taken us out from among the world that we might praise his name. You see, when we come here to sing the songs of worship, we have a great joy in doing that. But it's not just part of church. It's part of our praise. When I hum those tunes at home, it's part of my praise. When I share a smile, or a handshake, or as in our day-to-day, an elbow bump, even if I've got a mask on and all you can see is the light in my eyes, and I can see is the light in your eyes, you can tell if someone's smiling by their eyes. What are people seeing in us? God has saved us, not just so we can go to heaven. That's where we'll wind up by His grace. But God has saved us, and we can praise His name. May we do so with all that we have within us, from the first to the last of our life. Father in heaven, we confess today that we often come short of you and of your glory. But help us to become more conscious, Father, that you have called us and drawn us apart from the world, that we might bless your name, that we might clearly and deliberately sound forth the honor of the victorious King, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that we would glory in your triumph. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.